Welcome, everybody. My name is Jenny Friedman. I'm an ADHD coach and the host of the show.
Yeah, we need a lot more people talking about ADHD because it's
invisible.
If you had a pair of glasses that can make you see the invisible, what would ADHD look like?
Wondering right now where your glasses are? You're probably in the right place.
This show has a mission.
Demystify and destigmatize ADHD once and for all.
Stuff isn't rocket science, people.
Welcome to See in ADHD Talk Radio. And today I've got with me Whitney McLeod. Hello, Whitney.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. And I'm thrilled that you're with me. She has created, I want to say a company, but I know it's a blog, right?
Right.
I met you on Twitter and your Twitter bio says, I am an ADHDer who is passionate about crafting and all forms of creativity. I write tutorials for beginner crafters and offer tips and help for ADHDers. Beautiful, like clear and to the point. And why I think we both started following each other.
Right.
And then I started seeing these beautiful works of art and fun pieces that you or following other people that craft. So tell me about crafting, because I really don't know anything.
Well, I do all kinds of things. I cannot do one type of thing myself. I'm like, oh, I like to scrapbook and decorate cakes and make wall art and jewelry. I just, all of it. So I don't do one thing in particular. And a lot of times I struggle finding the right word. On the blog, I always say crafting because really I'm referring to all things creative. But most of the time when somebody says crafting, they think of just, I don't know, making a little decorative box or something, you know?
Well, to tell you the truth, I thought that. Like I thought, okay, right. So here you have a tissue box and I'm going to put seashells on it. And isn't that crafting? And then, yeah, what I'm seeing up on online is it looks like it ranges from anything from like a tree ornament to doing something fun with paints and pencils on notebooks and other pictures and anything, right. I guess, is a surface that you would just. So part of that creative process, tell me about that.
Well, for the things that I post on Twitter, these are small business people mostly. I have some other bloggers and things that are on there, and these are things they're selling. I myself have only added a few crafts that I have done and tutorials I have done. So when I create something, it is just on the spur of the moment. I just literally look around for something in my house that I can do something to.
Oh, okay.
And for as far as my crafting goes, that's how it is. Like one of my things is, and it did pretty well among people, was it's called a mancala board. It's like a game. I've never played it. I don't know if you're familiar.
How do you spell it?
It's M-A, I'd say mancala. That might not be how you say it. M-A-N-C-A-L-A. And it's like this little game and it has like little marble things in it. And I have never played it before, but I had one of these and I was like, what could I do this? It has these little sections. There's got to be something you can stick in there and make it.
Oh, I think it's an African, like a mandala board with a D.
It's a C, M-A-N-C-A-L-A.
So maybe it is mancala. I was probably pronouncing it wrong. I know what you're talking about. My daughter used to have one.
Right. They're pretty, you know, you can find them anywhere. So I assume they're pretty popular, but I just have never played it. But I said, it has all these little sections and it's just cute and it closes and there's got to be something you can do with this thing. So I turned it into a jewelry box. And I have noticed since I have all these people that I follow on Etsy and a lot of them make jewelry.
Yes.
I am so inspired by them. So I made the little jewelry box is one of the first things I did. And then I have this big wall art thing. I had this big round wooden hoop I had for a long time. And I was like, there's something cool you could do with this. I just don't know what it is yet. So I kept these big wooden hoops in my house forever. And being on there and seeing the people doing these different beautiful jewelry things, I was inspired by their jewelry, and I made a wall art that I thought looked a lot like a jewelry piece they would make. And so I give all the credit to them. They totally inspire me.
So these are people mostly up on Etsy and homemaking
sellers.
I see Instagram.
A lot of them are on Instagram too, but most of them have their own websites where they sell things, Etsy shops, eBay shops, things like that. And they are just the sweetest people. They are so awesome. So,
oh, I got to give a shout out to your crowd, because I got to tell you, when I started following you, all of a sudden I started getting crafty people following me. And I was like, oh, look at this now. Look how this works.
Yeah, they are so great.
Yeah, you've got 1,500 followers. So, you know, that's a lot of people that are checking you out.
Well, it's really amazing. I don't know how fast that stuff happens, but it seems so fast to me because I started like almost the last day in February is when I started my blog. So I was like, wow, I can't believe I'm connecting with all these people so fast. And I thought, well, maybe that's normal, but I just have been out of the loop for a long time. So
no, I used to do Twitter quite unremarkably. Like, I thought it was like you put something out like a message, and I didn't really get the point of it until someone told me it was a relationship building tool.
Yeah.
And Eric Clark, actually, my first podcast was with Eric, who said it's about connecting with people and right. building a relationship, and it's right. not about messaging. And I was like, oh, so then when I started talking to real people, I meet the coolest people. Like,
oh yeah.
So I can believe you've embraced this crafting community, but I'm curious, like, did they come first or did you come first? Like,
I don't know. I was just on there, and there's a couple people in particular that it's like when you first get on there and you retweet people's things, a lot of times they don't say thank you, or they might not retweet your things. And it's almost like you have to build trust with people that mm-hmm. they believe that you want to connect and you genuinely like their things, instead of, oh, I'm just retweeting for you because I want you to retweet something of mine.
Right. Yes.
So, you know, you kind of have to work your way in with these people, and they have to know that, I mean, I could just be making this all up in my head, but I feel like.
Hey, I make up the same thing. Like, to me, that makes a lot of sense. I believe what you say. You know,
right.
Think about it. Well, a lot of people don't know what they're doing on Twitter.
Right.
So they are thinking that it's just for messaging. And then if all of a sudden you're doing something, they don't know what, you know, I guess it's also an age thing. I think older people don't know what they're doing.
Yeah. Well,
no offense, older people.
Well, I was surprised I picked up on it at all, because when I first got on Twitter, I was like, what is all of this? I mean, especially like when you have like the follow Friday and it's just at this, at that. I was like, I don't know what this is. I'll never figure this out.
I started adding little icons to mine to make them look more decorative.
Yeah. And there's like this fine line. And I read, before I started Twitter, I read the whole thing. I don't know if it's the wiki how or what it was I read. I've read one of those. Oh. I actually have a link to it in my Twitter tips for newbies, because it was like this whole thing on Twitter etiquette, and I was like, oh, see, I would have never known this stuff, and I might have been all rude. So
right I was rude on Twitter and didn't even know it. I had read something too, and I would love to give a shout out to this guy. I know I follow him, but I can't think of his name offhand. He had written something, yeah, telling you what to do. So there are rules.
Right, yeah.
But your craft for purpose was, you were always craft for purpose, or did you become that later?
Well, that when I started on Twitter, that's what I was, craft for purpose. And I started Twitter around the same time I started my blog. So, you know, I just started with that. And I actually thought a couple people that I was adding were bloggers, but they had Etsy shops. And I didn't even know because I didn't know what I was doing.
Right.
But, you know, I liked their stuff. So I was retweeting their things. And then they finally was like, I guess they were like, oh, well, she keeps retweeting, so I guess I'll retweet something. I guess she's here to stay.
She keeps retweeting me.
Yeah.
You do have a blog, and that's something that I wanted us to talk about, because it's a blog, craftingforpurpose.com.
Yes.
And how does it tie in with ADHDers? Like, how's that work?
Well, that was a bit confusing for me at first because, like I said, I want to do so many things at one time always. So I didn't know how, if I could tie that in and make it work, if people would relate to it, or if it was just, yeah, it's just me crafting and having problems with ADHD. I said, well, I'm just going to try it. You know, I'm going to put it out there and maybe there will be someone like me. So it really was more of a thing that I'm going to put myself out there, you know, and see if anybody can relate to me, see if I can connect with people, because I really did not start a blog with the intention of taking it anywhere financially or, oh, I just want a bunch of people to listen to me. I really thought maybe I could connect with some people and that it would be a good experience for me.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
So at first, though, it was kind of like, I'm just going to do this crafting thing, you know, because I love crafting and, you know, maybe I could teach some people that have no idea what they're doing, but they want to try because...
Do you put it up on YouTube?
No, I write the tutorials out.
Okay.
And I try to make them as basic and simple as possible for people that really, you know, have never done it before. But then... You know, I did want to tie in my ADHD. I wasn't even sure I was going to do that at first because that was very scary for me to get on there and be like, oh, I have ADHD. You know, right. You never know how people are going to react to you. So I was a little nervous about that. But once I did it, I felt really good about it. And so I made a post, crafting tips, 10 crafting tips for beginners and ADHDers. And a lot of people liked it. And I was really surprised how many of my Etsy friends liked it, you know, and I got a lot of good support and I felt really good having a lot of people tell me they liked it. And I said, well, maybe it's really helpful to somebody. So then I decided to do a series for crafting with ADHD. So that's how it started, basically.
Right.
It just kind of just happened, you know?
Right. So now you've got your blog and people are subscribing, I guess, and regularly following you. And the response, I mean, like, can you think offhand? I know I'm putting you on the spot. I don't mean to put you on the spot. That's the one thing I'm like, I don't want to put people on the spot, but I am curious, like, what's been some of the feedback from the people who have ADHD?
Well, what I've noticed a lot is I don't have a whole lot of people coming to me just saying, oh, I have ADHD too. I have a lot of people that think they have ADHD, but have never been diagnosed with ADHD.
Oh.
So I have a lot of people that I think maybe they might not be sure they want to know, but they're like, yeah, I could have that. They definitely relate to everything I'm saying. So I think they might, you know, just not have been diagnosed or not so sure if they want to go there yet. You know, that's a big step in just going to like, I'm going to find out if I have this. I think I do, but I'm going to go and find out, because once you're told, that changes everything.
Right. And it does sound like you, when you said you weren't sure you wanted to put it out there, because you don't always know what people are going to think or say. I mean, so for you, that's a big deal, you know?
Yeah, it is.
And so probably people who, for them, it's a big deal. You guys are on the same wavelength.
Right.
And that's the connection that's going on. So if these people know now, like you're on a podcast and they can hear a voice and put the voice of Whitney to the face and the message, you know, and all that you message about ADHD. I mean, what part of your ADHD story would you like to share?
Well, I would say probably, you know, I don't really know. It's kind of hard because for me, this is a thing of I'm really opening myself up. This is really scary for me, you know. I guess I could say if I can do this, anybody can, absolutely.
Right.
Because I really, this is like so out of character for me to even have a blog.
Well, I hear you're from the South. And yeah, and I'm curious, where are you? You're in the South, right?
Oh, obviously.
Well, yes.
I'm in South Carolina.
Okay, I'm from North Carolina.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I go to North Carolina often, so I'm right at the top of South Carolina. So.
I was in Charlotte.
Oh, yay!
So I was right above you there.
Yeah, we go to Charlotte all the time. There's nothing here where I'm at, so we're always in Charlotte.
Okay. Well, and so I do know culturally, I think I've changed a lot since I've moved to New York. I don't even sound Southern anymore. So, you know.
That makes things easier.
Yeah. There's a lot of... there's a lot you don't say when you're in the South, you know, that it's, I try to tell people, I'm like, we think everything that you think, but we don't feel comfortable on a whole. You don't feel comfortable unless you're really close friends. You're not just going to talk and let it all hang out like they do up North.
It's like, I feel like I need to move. Maybe don't say that.
I'm like all outing you on the airwaves here. It's like,
and it is very hard. I would definitely say to anybody that may listen to this that's in the South, it is harder. It is absolutely harder. In the South, as far as the way I feel about it anyways, in my experience, there's a certain way to be. And anything outside of that is not okay.
It's true.
That is my personal experience anyways. That's not to say it's like that with everybody, of course, but anything outside of that is very strange and not perceived very well.
Right.
So ADHD, being very open with that, definitely, you know.
Absolutely. My sister is in Tennessee, too. And, you know, her and her family, they all have ADHD. And it's the schools, the kids, the schools know it. But she does not want to talk about it with people at her workplace. And she's very much like, they don't need to know.
That's probably why you have a lot of people have, you know, there's always the question, do I tell my boss I have ADHD? And you get mixed, you know, messages on that. A lot of people that deal with ADHD a lot will say yes, but a lot will say no. And it probably depends on the area, I would say.
Yeah. I do think that I've known people who they live up North. You know, they live like in New Jersey or in Philadelphia or New York, and they are very quick to feel more comfortable about, hey, you know, this is who I am. And yes, they declare it at work and they get special accommodations and they feel like, why wouldn't I help myself that way? And then and there are people up North also though who feel strongly that they don't want to put themselves in that position. They do feel that there would be stigma
Right.
People would think that they're less than or incapable of something. They don't want to be perceived that way, which I can understand, which is why it's just such a personal choice.
Yeah.
Personal decision.
Yeah.
There's no wrong. If you don't feel comfortable, then don't do it.
Right. Yeah. You have to go. You definitely have to go with your gut on things. You kind of know what's going to be best. You know, I would not, in any situation that I have been in. I know I have been more open about it on my personal Facebook page, which has a lot more people in my area, and I get no comments about it.
Really?
Yeah, but you know, that's why this blog is so great and meeting these people, connecting with these people is so great, because I find myself not caring as much what other people think, because I'm like, there are people out there that will embrace you regardless, you know.
Oh, there's and they millions.
Support you. And so you start to feel like, you know, well, I don't care about the people who don't, you know, that's fine. They don't have to, because there are people who will. And that, you know, that's what's helpful. And I guess that's why in the South, it can be really hard, because there's a lot more people in the South that they don't get out there and meet people from other places and talk to other people. So they do feel just stuck, and as if they have to keep their ADHD or something like that a secret.
Right. Well, and I do think that when you talk to them individually, though, they're okay. They're more okay than they are collectively. Like, I can say, oh, the Southerners, and everybody knows what that means if you're from the South. Yet when I speak to someone like Tom Nardone, is pretty famous in the ADHD community with his ADHD people and ADHD.net. I love him. He's written a book, and he's very open about it. He's from South Carolina.
Yeah.
You know, but he's over in, I think, a more coastal area. I think not as,
not as mid-state.
You're more mid-state, yeah. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. There's a difference. But
I know. I went to college in Wilmington, so I was like over on the coast. They're a little more, I don't know, beach people are more laid back.
Yeah, they are. They are. There's a difference. It always depends. It doesn't matter where, it always depends. But, and you know, like I have ADHD, so I'm very quick to just say whatever's on my mind and be very open about anything to do with me, and then later be like, maybe I shouldn't have told them all that. But the one good thing about doing that, especially in an area like this, I can open up to somebody on a personal level, and they're a lot quicker to open up to me as well. So it does work out a lot in that way. But people, a lot of times they think these things about themselves, like ADHD, for example. They'll think, I might have that, but they feel a little too uncomfortable about really getting out there and getting a diagnosis and doing something about it, you know?
Right. So. Right. Well, I guess that, to me, that begs the question, are you happy that you went and got the diagnosis?
Yes, I am. Because, I mean, ever since, you know, I was a child, I knew something is different about me. My mind works differently than other people. It has to. So, you know, and going all that time knowing you have something going on different and not knowing what it is, it just drove me crazy. I want to know what it is, you know. It might not change anything to know, just to know, but I want to know, you know.
Yeah.
So that was good for me. I'm glad. I'm definitely glad I did that, because
that's good.
Once you do that, you know, okay, this is what I need to be looking into. This is where I need to do all my researching. So definitely I recommend for people to get diagnosed if they think they may have it.
Right. Well, I think that you going and making something you're passionate about into a bigger thing for yourself, it's just so inspiring, you know, really, something like crafting. Like you were just saying, it's something I like to do this and I'm interested in this. All of a sudden you open up a whole new world that you didn't know was there with these people from Etsy. They're the most creative people, aren't they?
Oh, they are. They're awesome. I'm like, I gotta quit telling them I like them so much or they're gonna think I'm crazy. But they are, and they're a really big part of me doing this, and these are the people I'm opening up to first. So it's, you know, it's important to me, and it seems maybe not as big a deal to them, but it is for me.
I think it's also huge because of our economy right now. To tell you the truth, when you see these artists or just people making art and selling it on Etsy or eBay or their own websites, they're creating
a deal now.
They're creating an income for themselves. This is like, this is big stuff.
Oh, it's awesome. I think it's awesome. I think, like, I'm a stay-at-home mom, and you have a lot of stay-at-home moms doing that, you know, that they choose to be at home with their kids, or maybe they have to in some situations. But they're like, I still want to do something. I still want to make some, have an income, or, you know, like for me, I have to be in a creative type of environment. I have to do something creative. And I didn't have everything figured out right away. So I didn't put myself in a position where I could maybe go to school for something like that. For me, being able to do something at home is awesome. You know, if I
get people asking me all the time, what I need to be at home. Does anybody know how I can make money at home? You know, I'll send them your way.
It's better for some people too. You know, some people, I actually do my best when I'm doing work from home. Some people get really distracted at home, but I really hone in on things when I'm at home. So, you know, it works better for some people. And, you know, a lot of businesses are paying people to work from home too. So,
yes,
you know, there's something to it. And I think it's great for people to be able to do things like that, you know. And a lot more people are appreciating buying handmade things too.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. No, that's definitely, you know, forget about even being made in America, but being made by hand. I think we're sort of going back to, you know, that's a real value now. People are like, look what was handmade.
I
think we're over all this mass produced stuff, you know?
Oh yeah. It's awesome. I actually, you know, I can only do so much. If I always want to tell my Etsy followers, if I ever win the lottery, I'm buying all you guys out. I love their stuff. And whenever I get a chance, I'll buy something from somebody. And
right.
I get it. And I'm like, this is so awesome. This is so much better than anything I could buy at like a department store or something.
Right.
It's so much better. So it's
much
really
more
awesome.
Special. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. And a lot of it's much more, you know, the quality is much better.
Oh, yeah. So I bought a Christmas ornament this last holiday from a woman that makes, you know, Minecraft ornaments, like Minecraft video game, you know?
Yeah.
And you see them like Minecraft stuff at the store, but she had like this, I don't even know how she made it. I think it looks like she took little tape or something, but it was just so carefully. It looked 1,000% better than these cheap things you buy at the store that are like pressed, machine stamped stuff. This is like, it looks so rich. And so it had an element of texture that you can't get with store-bought stuff.
Yeah. And it's so neat to know that somebody made that. And it's just sending it straight to you. It's just so awesome. I love that. And I love it because they get to know you and they'll send you like a little note or something. And so I told them I'm aspiring to cover my entire refrigerator with their notes because I hang them up every time I get one.
Oh, that's so great. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So you don't actually sell anything on Etsy yourself. You just make...
No. I am thinking about it because I really like making jewelry. So I have been thinking about it. I've never, I don't know. They kind of inspire me to do so much. So I've been thinking, well, maybe I'll sell some of my jewelry too. I don't know. But I'm not sure because I really love doing the writing and the tutorials and stuff. So it just depends on if I have the time. It's definitely not the first priority.
No, I hear you. I like your articles. You wrote one about managing money and managing ADHD.
Yeah.
And that's a spot where I've had, he's in our group too, Jason Ross. I've had it.
He was on podcast.
Yeah. He does ADD finances. Yeah.
Yeah. I heard that one too.
I think you guys should hook up and talk because you can do some benefit, like guest posting for each other. And, you know, there's strength in numbers in that messaging because that's a huge deal. I coach people a lot about the finances, you know, with impulsively spending money.
Yeah.
Or not knowing how to really keep a good paying job.
Like for me, you know, a lot of people, I think they automatically think about the impulsive spending, overspending and things like that. But see, I'm the type of ADHDer that I know how I am with money and time. So I am like super overestimating things. And it's like, oh, I need to have this much money aside and I'm way overestimating what I need to not spend. So I end up not doing things that maybe I could because I'm so concerned with spending too much. Or like with time, you know, you have the ADHDers that are always late. Well, I know that I could very well do something like that. So I show up like an hour and a half early, so, you know, so that's a problem in itself too.
Yeah. No, I'm an early person. I would rather be early than late though.
I definitely would. And so, but you know, most people when they don't have ADHD or, you know, have trouble with time perception, they don't show up that much earlier, you know. They can get there at a reasonable time and be okay. So it's definitely an issue.
What do you do when you're waiting?
Probably tweet.
I can sit here and tweet while I'm waiting.
Yeah, you know, I tweet a lot. All these people.
You do tweet a lot.
Yeah, I feel like, I feel so bad when I don't retweet their stuff. I'm like, oh no, I have to help them out. I'm not supporting them.
I think it's wonderful. I mean, you must be supporting them because I know that you've supported me. So thank you. You've retweeted some of my stuff. I'm like, oh yay, someone's reading me. You know, I love getting retweeted, but I try to do the same thing. I mean, it's not a one-way street, you know.
Oh yeah. The one thing that I have to say this for anybody that might be listening from out of the people that follow me, you don't have to retweet for me. You don't have to retweet my stuff for me to retweet yours, but you have to maybe remind me you're there because I will forget. There's so many people now and it is so hard for me to remember to retweet her. But I think some of these people, they obviously don't have ADHD and they have this system worked out and they just know what to do. And I am so all over the place and it's very hard for me to keep up with. I could probably write a whole entire post just on having ADHD and doing Twitter.
Yeah. Well, some people I know have really tried to stay off it because it can be so time consuming and so addictive sort of. You can really fall into that. Well, time, you know, like you just spent 3 hours on Twitter.
Yeah. And I just have gotten to a point where I'm like, okay, nobody could possibly expect me to retweet this much. So I'm going to have to slow down because you start losing time on what the whole reason you're there in the first place.
Yes.
You know, I'm there to, you know, spread the word about ADHD, help people with crafting if I can, anything like that. And now I'm losing that. So, you know, you have to have that balance. And, you know, it's with having ADHD, it's so hard to have balance. So I just play that game of running back and forth here and there. Don't let the scale tip too far one way.
Right, exactly. I'm like on my blog, tending to the family, on my blog, doing Twitter, tending to the family.
Right. But like in one of my posts, I wrote something about don't do too many projects at one time if you can't handle that. But I always thought that's how I was, and I wouldn't get a lot done because I would do one thing at a time because I felt that's the way you're supposed to. But I'm actually finding that I do better when I have a lot of things to do because I don't get bored.
Well, no, that's a big thing. When people with ADHD are bored, shut down.
Oh yeah, that's exactly how I am. I totally just am like, I don't like this anymore. I'm going to give up. And I'm finding now I don't have to give up. I can take a break. Maybe I'm tired of making this jewelry for a while. I'll go and work on my book, or I'll go and work on a post, you know, and right. I'll switch back and forth and I keep up with everything and I stay interested at the same time.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it works out well.
So maybe the key for some people isn't just narrowing down on a one specific interest.
Right.
But let yourself have several interests. Like, that's okay.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I really put myself down a lot, liking so many different things and not being able to settle on one thing. Because most people do.
I'm with you. It seems that way. Those people that, I was born wanting to be a lawyer, and then all I ever looked at was law, and then now I'm a lawyer and I'm only 15. You know,
it's like, yeah, and I'm like, me too. I want to be a lawyer too, and a doctor, and a jewelry maker.
Yeah.
So yeah, and I really put myself down about that for a long time because it just made me feel as if I was just indecisive. And, you know, I'm like, I can't do all these things. And now I'm like, why can't I? Within reason, you know, why can't I do all these things? Who says that I have to do one thing? You know, it's not interesting for me. And so I'm going to do a bunch of things. Yeah. I think we're kind of raised to believe you pick these certain things and you pick this path and you just go that route. And maybe that's why there are so many people that just are not happy with what they're doing, you know?
Because I agree.
They are only doing one thing.
I bet a million people are like that. They think they have to. Did you ever see that movie, The Bee Movie?
No.
It had Jerry Seinfeld was a bee.
I know what you're talking about. I never saw it though.
Yeah. In that movie, the bee was told, okay, time to choose the one thing you're ever going to do for the rest of your life, the one job. And he was like, wait, what if I change my mind? Nope, there's no changing your mind. You have to be the one job you choose today.
No.
You know.
That sounds like misery.
Yeah, exactly. And in America, I think we have the freedom that a lot of other countries don't have, that right. We can switch up and choose and do this and then do that. But what you're pointing out is true. There's an unwritten, unspoken expectation that I don't know where that comes from, but it's big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, I think a lot of people, I know for me and, you know, just a lot of people have at least that one family member that, you know, you feel like you have to live up to their expectations and do this one thing. Or, you know, a lot of people have that going on too. And they feel they have to do those things. But, you know, and, you know, that's not to say people have to just, you know, take these huge risks, you know, and leave their job and do
right.
Do whatever they feel like doing. But there's no reason you can't do that hobby you want to do, you know, or like, I would love to go skydiving. That is something I would love to do. Don't ask me why, but I would like to do it. You know, people should be able to just feel like they can do things. And I don't think people feel that way.
Right.
I don't think people feel like, on a whim, they can just do things. And I think that's the great thing about ADHD. And that's why I say it's important for people to embrace it, because you can't totally embrace it. You know, there's definitely parts of it that are hard to deal with, but you can't look at it as it's completely bad. Some of my favorite people I have ever met have been the most spontaneous, most all over the place people. People that don't have ADHD could learn a lot from people who do.
Absolutely. And I think they do. And I think that's why there's a lot of couples who are, one has it, one doesn't. Because there's that attraction to, you know, well, you're more spontaneous and fun and engaging than I am. Yeah. And then, like on that show with Rill, with Super ADD Mom,
yeah,
she's nicknamed, or her husband's the mundane one. I was like, the mundane.
He's like, thanks.
Yeah, well, I think she said he named himself.
Well, see, my husband, well, we're not really sure. I think he has ADHD. We kind of think he does, but he actually has narcolepsy. I hope he's not mad at me for telling everybody that. But
oh, we have someone in the group with that too.
Well, they say that there are a lot of people that have narcolepsy that have ADHD. And because some of the symptoms from narcolepsy are so similar to ADHD symptoms, it's very hard to tell whether the person just has narcolepsy or if they have narcolepsy and ADHD.
Yes. So
we're not really sure with him. And, you know, being the area that we're in, there's nobody to really help us out with that and find out whether he has it or not. But
I bet if you went to Charlotte.
We've been to Charlotte. We went to a place in Charlotte, but I won't say the name of the place, but it definitely seemed like a place where they just wanted to give you medication and that's it.
Yeah.
And then that felt like this is just about, you know, you making money off of giving people medication.
Right.
So we did not like that. But we haven't been able to find any place in this area, which is really bad for us, you know. Mm-hmm. And I have a son that definitely has it. So, right. Yeah,
you're like
just like mom.
Definitely. Yeah. No, the narcolepsy, I know from speaking with this other person, they said that the Adderall is what they take.
My husband has to take that.
Has to take it for the narcolepsy, and it helps with the ADHD.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. So that's how, why we're like, you know, we'd really like to know, but at the same time, we're doing what you would do regardless, because that he has to have that or all he, you know, will fall asleep.
That's so interesting. I mean, not, I don't mean it like interesting with your husband, but like, it's so interesting to think about that. That's a coexisting condition. I don't really hear a lot of people talk about.
Yeah, I've read a lot about, you know, we've checked into all that, of course, and the amount of reading we've done on all kinds of different conditions, mm-hmm. and me especially, you know, trying to find out exactly what it was that made me different from everyone else. So that was one of the things that we read, you know, there mm-hmm. are a lot of people that have narcolepsy and ADHD.
That's going to make them feel better though to hear this. I'm telling you, because they feel like they're the only person.
Oh yeah.
You know, they ask me, have you ever heard of this? And I'm like, you know, it doesn't strike me as being unusual, because ADHD always seems to travel with something else. But to specifically, now I can say I've literally heard two people talk about it. So that's good.
Well,
because there has to be hundreds, I mean, if not thousands.
Yeah. From what I read, I can't, you know, word for word say what it said, but from what I read, it was pretty high amount, you know.
Mm-hmm. So, I'm sure.
Like I have ADHD and anxiety.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's my family too. Yep.
Yeah.
That's probably the number, that and depression people talk about a lot.
There's probably like two people in my family that were actually diagnosed with ADHD, but it's very obvious that it's prevalent in my family. You know, they might not want to talk about it specifically, but you know, it's definitely prevalent. So,
yeah.
I tried medication for my ADHD, and I am a person, I'm not against medication at all. It obviously is very helpful for a lot of people, but it does not agree with me, and I can't take it. Mm-hmm. So, and I've tried different ones, different dosages and all that, and I just cannot take it. And it does not work for my son either, unfortunately. So, but I was in a forum one night reading about restless leg syndrome. I have restless leg syndrome.
Uh-huh.
And there are a lot of ADHDers that have restless leg syndrome.
Yes, that I've heard a lot of people say.
And I was in the forum and I was trying to figure out, what can I do? You know, people were, they get prescribed the medicine for that, and that medicine didn't agree with me. And people get prescribed things like Klonopin and things like that, which I did not like taking that. And it seemed to just make it worse. Somebody said Tramadol. That is a pain medication, but it's one that's not considered like a narcotic. So it's not like a real strong type of thing, like Lortab or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And so I had that because I also have a ruptured disc. And yes, I never would take it because I really hate taking medicine. So I never would take it. But then when somebody said that helped restless leg syndrome, if you had restless leg syndrome, you know you are going to take anything that could help it. So I tried it and it worked. And then in the forum, people were saying, this has actually somewhat been helpful for my ADHD.
And really?
Yes. And ever since I have been taking Tramadol for my restless leg and back, it's been very helpful for my ADHD too.
How about
it's
that?
I don't think it probably does what ADHD medication does for people, but it has been helpful.
Okay. Hey, you know, that's, I'm one to say whatever's helping is, yeah, you know, I can't talk against it because the word helping.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you feel it's helping.
Yeah. Anything that helps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But because the challenges are always so different for people. Obviously we know it's a spectrum thing where people, you know, and there's, and some universal, like being late, like you said, with the time.
Yeah.
You know, that's a universal thing. But the degrees of challenge, yeah, are so different for everybody.
Yeah, and people's bodies react differently to things. And mm-hmm, some things just don't work for some people. You know,
right,
they say sometimes they have like a really high dosage of an ADHD medication to a child, whereas this adult has to have this tiny amount.
That's right. It's right. It has to do with the absorption rate.
Yeah.
And other factors that you, right, it's counterintuitive. I know. Yeah. I know. But if having someone to go see that you can trust, professional, like a doctor who, mm-hmm, specializes in ADHD, is the optimal thing to have, you know.
It is. And that's why, you know, you have all these people in these forums discussing these things and trying to help each other. Because with ADHD, it's so very hard to get the help that you need in certain areas.
Yeah.
You
know, and some doctors don't know. That's the most infuriating, yeah, thing to me, is that there's, yeah, many, many good doctors. And I have a funny feeling. I don't know, but I have a funny feeling there's just as many bad.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean bad, like meaning like they don't know. They're, yeah, not... They don't keep up with the latest information, or they're going on old thoughts about it. Like, oh, you outgrow, yeah, it. You know, we know, well, you don't outgrow it. So stop saying that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's not going to happen. Mine seems worse since I've gotten older. So I can agree with that, because in times when I've talked to doctors, and just in some of the things that I've talked about that I know to be fact, you know, I know it to be a fact. It's not a secret. And they seem to not have any idea what I'm talking about.
Right.
So I'm like, wow, this is not good.
When I know more than you, I'm, yeah, not in the right place.
Yeah, no, this is not good.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's hard. You know, people, you can go to the doctor after doctor and not find what you're looking for. with this particular type of situation.
Well, yeah. And to your point, that's why so many groups like Facebook groups or the forums or other websites have their own groups. All of them are so valuable because the more we keep talking about it to each other, we learn from one another. Unfortunately, still a lot of, I think that also churns some fiction. Yeah. You know, like at the same time.
Some misinformation. Yeah.
It can do that too, you know. But with your blog, I think that you're fine, you know, you're resonating with the people who are like you. They're looking and they're finding you. And you have a very powerful voice with just your story and just what you're doing. You're doing. You're not just thinking about it. You're actually doing it. Yeah. And to your point, when we started talking, you were like, I don't even know what I'm doing. I'm just doing it anyway.
No, I'm not claiming to be an expert by any means. I'm just trying to do what I want to do, you know, and hope that I can be helpful to somebody. That is the main thing for me. That's why every time I post, I try to encourage anybody that reads to comment, to give, and not just comment, oh, that was a great post. That's not the comments I'm looking for. You know, that's
definitely, I like it.
Yeah, I definitely appreciate it, of course, you know, but I'm hoping that somebody will get on there, even somebody that doesn't have ADHD, and it's like, well, you know, you should try this. This is a really good idea, because they could be helpful to other people reading the blog. Mm-hmm. And that's my hope, that people can give advice, or maybe someone's struggling with something and they can talk about it, and maybe I can think of something to help them. Anything like that, you know, that's the hope. Is that, you know, I can build a community.
Right.
That's what I want to do. A community.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, I know in my Facebook group, I think what I'm going to do is start having like, I don't know what day of the week is good, but where people can, you know, highlight what they do and self-promote like their blogs, because there's so many people that have great stuff. That's what I was saying, like, you know, to connect with one another and see what ideas you can do to come up with more stuff. There's more than enough for everybody. There's just more and more, and the more ideas, the more creativity, and the more connecting, the bigger your community will be.
That's kind of what drove me to having a lot of Etsy friends and people like that, is because there was a point when I was trying to add other crafting type bloggers and things like that, but it was hard. You know, a lot of the bloggers are very competitive and are not open to sharing information. Not everybody, of course, but there is a lot of that, and it's difficult. So.
Right. I think that comes from a scarcity point of view, where you think, oh, there's only so much to go around, so let me just stay private and this is mine, and it's a very, I'm not sharing, and you go away over there. I wouldn't recommend anybody be that way, because it does cut you off.
Yeah.
And it makes you live in fear. Then everything sort of is bad and goes wrong, and you're suspicious and you feel jealous and you feel these negative things.
Yeah.
And what you're saying
that's a downfall immediately. As soon as you start with the negativity, that is going to be your downfall. Definitely.
Right.
I think if you start something with the intentions of doing something good, then I think that you don't have to worry about that happening. You know,
absolutely.
You have to start like I said, as I want the community vibe. I want to be helpful to somebody. And if you're starting with that in mind, and even if you're not trying to be just helpful to people, if you're making things and you just want to be creative and share your creativity, if you go with that mindset, I think things will turn out good for you. You don't have to worry about not sharing information with people or anybody encroaching on your things.
No, know? I agree. I think that just like energy builds energy, you put energy and more energy, you just get more. Right. And I think that's the same with people and ideas. And, you know, when we share, we get more energy and excited in it, and it just exponentially grows to be into a beneficial thing. And I know I sound really out of my mind.
No.
I'll shut up now.
No. Well, I'm like, no, because, well, when you have several people coming up with ideas together, you know, you can come up with one really great big idea. And it took everybody to come up with it. You know, everybody had to take part to make that happen. It's not just one person, you know.
Right.
And all the friendships.
Idea. It's right. Everybody's.
Yeah, the friendships too that are made.
Oh, know. Yeah.
And
that's awesome. I was definitely worried about, you know, getting online, all the horrible things you hear. I was like, I don't know if this is going to work. People are going to be mean to me. You know, it was scary. I was like, I don't know about this. But I was really surprised at all the really great people. Really awesome people.
Yeah.
And I have definitely enjoyed that more than anything.
Yeah. Me too. I, you know, and meeting people like you just make me want to keep doing it more.
And to meet people with such different personalities, my favorite people are always the most off the wall person in the room is my best friend. That's my favorite person in the room. Always. So, you know, with these creative types of people, the personalities are just great. You know, all the creative types are really my favorite personality. So it's fun. It's definitely fun.
On your craft for purpose, is there anything that you want people to know? Well, for one, I'm going to tell people it's craftingforpurpose.com because your Twitter handle has the number 4 in it. Your website does not.
It's F-O-R on the website, and I had to do that. They wouldn't let me have F-O-R, unfortunately, so...
That's okay. I just want to point it out to people. And I'm going to put all of your links in the show notes so people can click and access okay. you. But is there anything, as we wind down in the conversation, is there anything else you'd like people to know about you?
I don't know. I think maybe just that sometimes I worry I'm so hyped up and positive and all over the place about this. I want people to know it's very sincere. I very much mean it.
That's wonderful. Yeah. I think I think I get nothing but that from you is sincerity. Yeah. No, you're awesome. Well, I want to thank you so much for joining me, and I hope you will come back and do it again.
I would love to. That would be awesome.
And I'm definitely going to, like I said, put this up online for you. And I will talk to you soon. Okay, bye.
Thank you. Bye. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining me, everyone. And if you haven't yet subscribed to the show, go to iTunes, hit subscribe, give a rating, give a review, and we'll see you soon.